Caroline, Willie, D-Maze, 102.5, 106.3, The Game in the Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, thank you, Nick, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME as I get my headset on and situated. Willie D, D-Mace, happy roster cutdown day. How we doing?
I don't know how happy it is for some people, but
happy for some.
It is roster. Not very happy for about 40 of them. And this is probably one of the most anxiety-ridden days in football, other than probably the Super Bowl. Or the playoffs. Let's just say the playoffs, period.
I noticed that Chase walked out. He didn't say, "Hey, Willie, I need to talk to you."
Yeah, so
you know,
he left, it ain't over yet.
The show's not over yet, but he did let us all start the show, so I feel like we're okay.
This is our last opportunity.
Yes, but
that's right. Him. We got 3 o'clock.
Don't get too comfortable.
I'm not leaving.
Let's hope we're okay tomorrow.
Don't plan on coming back here tomorrow, Willie. Just
who got the lunch invite? Did you guys get the lunch invite? I didn't get the lunch invite.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
What a horrible sign. Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, will join us in 1 hour. We'll also start our weekly visit with Vanderbilt head football coach Clark Lee at 1 o'clock. So looking forward to what Clark has to say about Vanderbilt's win against Hawaii this past weekend. But before we get into roster cutdown day, we all have our 53-man roster, so we'll compare, contrast, and discuss. Mm-hmm. First, D-Maze, I kind of wanted your perspective of what this day was like for you. And I'm sure that changed over the years, but earlier in your career versus later in your career, I mean, you've seen every single year guys that you got to know get cut from the team. So what was this day like for you in your playing days?
You know, the first few years, regardless of how you felt, you did. You just figure you did all that you could have done, and now it's left up to, you know, the people in that room to make the decisions on who they're going to keep and who they're going to trade away. Well, let go. You know, so that first year is a little bit of nerve-wracking. But then once you establish yourself, I'm not going to say it doesn't get it's not, you know, anxiety ridden, but it's not what it was in your first season or your second season. I think as you start to, you know, build on years and start to, you know, accomplish some things and solidify yourself sort of in this league as a guy that can play, you know, that sort of worry lessens a little bit. But you know, I had to go through it my first year, and hell, I had to go through it my fourth year, because I was on the trading block. You know, everything that I heard, I was getting ready to be shipped off to the Chargers. And so with that, there's anxiety. You know, you don't know where you're going to be. You got a family, so you got to try to, you know, prepare, you know, your family for what can potentially happen. But what you try to do is you try to just go out there and put forth your best foot. You try to go out there and do the things that they're asking you to do above and beyond. You know, you try to distinguish yourself from other guys in a good way, not in a bad way. I've seen some bad ways, but you try to distinguish yourself in a good way, whether it be on special teams or if you're part of the offense or defense. So, you know, those first few years were a little bit anxiety ridden, just in our room, period, the receivers room, period, because you never knew which guy was going to be gone, which guy was going to be able to, you know, survive the roster cuts. But even when they make the cut, it's not until that first game. You know, you can't just sit there and say, "Whoo, I made it," because I've seen guys, they've cut, they've made the 53-man roster. You go into meeting rooms, you come out of meeting rooms, go to practice, come back in, and you go to meetings and they're not there anymore. It's just because
there's
that.
So much shuffling going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, there's just because yeah. somebody may have gotten cut on another team that they right. were eyeing, and then they finally get an opportunity to get that guy, and then they got to make some more changes within the roster. So I would, you know, advise these young guys, don't get too comfortable in that seat you're in. Just because you made it through cut day or cut hour doesn't mean, you know, your spot on that team is guaranteed, because they can cut you all the way up until that first game and not have to pay a salary or anything else. So I know a lot of guys are, you know, they are, you know, worrying whether they're going to make this roster or not. But what I will tell them is this. You only worry if you don't put – no one likes to get cut or fired. I understand. Nobody likes to. I mean, regardless of how well you're doing your job, or, you know, you're doing your job not as well. Nobody likes getting cut, fired, whatever it is. But what I would tell young guys, as I've told young guys when I was playing, listen, don't worry about, in essence, making this team. What you put on tape, 31 other teams are watching too, because they all get the same tape. They all watch these same guys. And maybe you were a guy that they had on their board to possibly draft later in later rounds or bring in as a free agent. And we just so happened to, at the time, the Titans or Baltimore, just so happened to draft you or bring you in as a free agent. But that doesn't mean other teams don't like you. They like your skill set. So when you go out there, practice or game, put the best tape possible you can put together. Because if this team cuts you, it's not over. You got 31 other teams out there that may need somebody of your skill set. So don't put all your eggs in your basket making this team. Go out there and do the job. Do it to the best of your ability, knowing that there are 31
other.
Yeah, 31 other, or how many eyes you want to name, count. They're watching the tape, and they're watching you in these preseason games. So put together the best tape possible. So if indeed you do get cut here, you will more than likely land somewhere else.
I'm sure it's like, it feels like life and death. I remember being released by the Blue Jays, and mm-hmm. that was a different situation because it was out of nowhere, mm-hmm. right? I'm thinking, I'll be back next spring, and then I'll do better. And all of a sudden, you get the phone call, and mm-hmm. it's 30 seconds. Your life changes.
Yeah.
But here, it's like, you know, over the next couple of days, you're going to be nervous. You're looking at your mm-hmm. phone, all of that. I had a really interesting perspective a couple years ago from a guy named Daniel Carr, who, if you're a Predator fan, you might remember, kind of a comet shooting through the sky. But he had a different angle on it. He was a veteran, more or less a veteran. He was mm-hmm. 25, 26 years old. He had been through the training camp mm-hmm. thing, last guy cut, last guy to make it, several times. And he made the Predators mm-hmm. on opening day. And I was at a function with him to celebrate the end of the training camp, had all the families there, and it was at Topgolf, and uh-huh. he was at my thing. And we were just shooting the breeze, and I said, hey, congratulations, you know, you made it. Where did he go? He goes, it's not time to celebrate yet. He goes, mm-hmm. I have been through this. I've not made the team and then come up during the regular season. I've made the team only to get sent down mm-hmm. two or three games later. He says, so I'm keeping even keeled. So he had learned over the time, like you said,
yeah.
over time, if you're an NFL player, you will eventually make it,
yeah.
right? And if you're not meant to be an NFL player,
you won't be.
But you have to believe mm-hmm. that even if you have a setback, that it will come back around,
yeah.
right? And you will get the opportunity, and you'll make the most of the opportunity.
Yeah, and you have to have that type of approach. Because, again, everybody's devastated. I don't care if you've been in this league 10 years or been a Pro Bowl player or All-Pro player. When a team releases you, it's devastating. It's just like, who wants to feel unwanted?
Right.
Nobody in the world wants to feel unwanted. Nobody. Name me somebody that loves feeling unwanted, and I think they're crazy.
Especially how much you love the game.
Exactly.
Right?
Especially how much you love the game.
And how much you've worked for.
Exactly. You don't want to feel as if, you know, somebody doesn't want you. Even me, after my eighth season, the Titans cut me. That was devastating, even though I knew in a sense it was coming. But it was like, we don't want you. That's basically what they're saying. I know they can say, well, you know, the numbers just don't work out. And, you know, if you need anything, give us a call, yada, yada, all this other stuff, which may be true. But it doesn't erase the fact that you don't want me. That's what you're saying. I work my ass off to do everything, and you said I'm doing everything right, but you still don't want me. Who wants to feel that way? So I know what these guys are going through right about now. And I hate, let me say this. I do hate or dislike, and that's not hate, strong word. I dislike the way the NFL does it now because they do it all at one time. Now you got a bunch of people just out there. Now you got to filter through all these people. I like it when they did the systematic cut down because if I don't make it now,
I had not thought about it that
way. I can go on another team. Another team's going to pick me up because they may have an injury here and there. So they might pick me up and I might be able to get a jump start on this team early enough that I got have an opportunity to make the team.
Now it's this huge amount of people thrown into the same pool.
Okay, everybody get in the pool and now we got to decipher through these guys. And some teams know exactly who they wanted. Then, you know, it's a little different because the practice squad has extended. There's more guys on practice squad now, and you can kind of finagle that whole practice squad thing. But I just don't like that everybody's being thrown in the pool at the same time. That I'm not cool with, but the NFL has their reason for doing it. The players collectively bargained it, so, you know, it is what it is. But I like the way, the old way, where systematically – week by week or every, I think it was every 2 weeks or something like that, you had to shave your roster down.
And it feels like, too, when you do it kind of intermittently, that if you get cut in one of those first rounds of cuts, you have so much time to be able to find a new landing spot before week one, whereas now you get cut today on roster cutdown day, you're just shy of 2 weeks before week one.
Exactly.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, we'll get into our 53-man rosters. We will sit in the GM seat. We'll break down our 53-man rosters, compare, contrast, but a couple of tidbits coming out. The rosters are due at 3 o'clock Central Time, so we will know for certain what the Titans roster will be right around that time, but we're getting some leaks, some tidbits here and there. This coming in from Aaron Wilson, who covers the Texans for KPRC in Houston, says that Anthony Kendall has made the Titans' initial 53-man roster. Bit of a surprise. Another surprise on the other side of the football, the Titans are releasing guard Jordan Roos. This is per Justin M of the Draft Network. All right.
So Justin M.
Justin M with the scoop.
All right, yeah.
Couple of surprises there. So
Justin M. Do we know? Is that the last name? M? Is it like E-M? Two letters?
Just M.
E-M-M?
His mom just, dad probably just
Justin
named him.
Justin Mello.
Oh, Mello.
Oh, Justin. He does have a last name. Okay.
Mello.
All right. Cool. All right. So Jordan Roos has been released per source and also rookie corner Anthony Kendall has made the initial 53-man roster. So we'll update everyone as soon as those leaks come out on Twitter, and we'll get to our 53-man roster coming up next. It's Caroline, Willie, D-Mace. We are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
These couple of days have guys, get your message to guys who maybe get bad news in the next 24 hours or so, and what's your message to the 53 plus you'll have here?
Well, I would say that, you know, starting with the 53, that the roster, you know, I mean, we need to prove ourselves every day. Like, this is, this business can, you know, nothing's guaranteed, and what the roster looks like on Wednesday, it's going to be different than what it looks like a week from Wednesday, and so on and so forth. That's we're always going to be looking to churn the roster. That would be my message to them. Is that's not the time to relax and take a deep breath. And then, unfortunately, we will have to move on from some players. Do it in, you know, whether we bring them back or we don't. Trying to tell them that if they ever need something, that they've shown well for themselves, and that we would call anybody that they need me to call and help them however we can help them, and know that we could possibly bring you back if we don't bring you back on the initial wave of the practice squad. Because they're, when you try to make a connection with them, it is difficult, and but we all know that not everybody's going to make it.
That was Mike Vrabel and his media availability earlier this week. And kind of going along with what you were saying, D-Maze, that today, of all days, is a reality check that the NFL is a business. And unfortunately, you have to make difficult decisions. And that is what today is. It is roster cutdown day. Each NFL team has to have their final, or initial rather, initial 53-man roster submitted to the league by 3 o'clock Central Time. But we've seen a little bit of tidbits kind of come through, get leaked on Twitter. The first one that I saw is that Anthony Kendall, a rookie corner, has made the initial 53-man roster for the Tennessee Titans. Jordan Roos, guard center, has been released by the Titans, and this just coming out from Jordan Schultz of the NFL Network, Racy McMath has been waived by the Tennessee Titans. Is
for
anyone
real?
Surprised?
Goodness, man, I thought they were going to,
Teron was hinting at that yesterday when we talked to him. That is a classic example of a guy. We were just chatting about this at the break. I think I saw a tweet where he ran 4.32, 4.33 at his pro day. He's tall. He's lanky. Like, he has tools that are hard to find. And I think of...
He's quick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But just one of those guys that you say all the time, Derek, is it's not about just the raw tools. That's nice to have those. It's great to have those. But that ultimately alone will not lead to success. And there's a guy that... They gave him a lot of chances, a lot of chances. Mm-hmm. He had trouble staying healthy, but more than that, it just seemed like he could never connect the dots. I don't know what it was, reading defenses, routes, all the things you talk about, but that's one where you look at a guy and say, man, that guy looks like he could be really good, and it just didn't happen.
Yeah, I've come across several guys like him. One come to mind, Jake Schifino. Who I thought was a hell of a talent, wide receiver. They drafted him, I think, early 2000s, somewhere around there.
Oh, I remember him.
Yeah,
I remember him
out
well.
Of Ohio, Miami of Ohio, I believe Jake was out of. And Jake was a hell. I mean, if he had all the attributes or the intangibles, the things that you look for in a receiver. He was about 6'1". He had speed. He could make those catches and. He was just a guy that you thought, okay, when they drafted, I think they drafted in the fourth, fifth round, somewhere around there. And you thought, looking at his skill set and what he was able to do in practice, you just thought, okay, this is a guy that should make this team. And he was a guy that was just always on the fringe. He was a fringe guy for whatever reason. He had the talent to play in the league, but he just could never put it together mentally. Or physically, he'd have a good practice and then he had bad practices. He have another good practices, then he have bad practice. Then he get injured with a hamstring, and he could never just put it all together. And ultimately, they end up cutting him because he couldn't. And that's a guy that you see more times than not, a guy with the talent, but for whatever reason, they couldn't put it all together mentally, physically and emotionally. And for Jake, it was injury and his inconsistencies, and I think that's what Racy McMath ran into, the same thing.
Are Injuries. Any of us surprised that he did not make the initial 53?
I'm not gonna say I'm not surprised. I'm disappointed, because they've given him opportunities to make this team, and it was prime this year. Well, the last 2 years have been prime for him to make this team, to step up in a role that was significant enough that you were going to make the team. They traded away the number one receiver. They went and got a receiver that was already hurt, that a lot of people was clamoring over. I don't know, understand why. He's a good dude. He had a good career up until his injury, but his injury basically slowed him down to half the receiver that he was prior to it. So there were a lot of and then you had rookies last year in Kyle Phillips. You had rookie in Treylon Burks who couldn't stay on the field because of injuries. So it was basically tailor-made for you to hear, man. Mm-hmm. Take the spot. It's there for you to take it. You could actually be a starter if you put it all together. Because
yeah, there's wide open opportunity.
Yeah, the depth was not there last year. And you didn't do it. And then you come back this year and you still have an opportunity to make the roster as a top five, top four receiver. But you didn't do it for whatever reason. And I've seen that in my 15 years. I've seen it a lot of times.
Now, he could end up on the practice squad.
Yeah, he could.
Yeah. In my wide receivers, in my 53, I went as far as to put 7 receivers on this team. I don't know if they're going to go with 7. That's a lot. But I had 7, and Racy McMath was not really at the forefront of my mind with those 7. Mm-hmm. Burks, Hopkins, Chris Moore, Kyle Phillips, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, Colton Dowell, and Kyrus Jackson.
There's a lot of speculation that Phillips will go on IR,
yeah,
which is
to
open up a spot. And Jared was going through the process of, and I don't know all the particulars about this, but because I saw they this morning mm-hmm. on their transactions, they put, who did they put on IR this morning?
Hassan Haskins.
Yeah.
So if you're placed
he's gone
on,
for the year.
If you're placed on IR before the cutdown day,
that means he will not play this whole year.
You are out for the year unless you release him on injury waivers.
Okay, so that's what Jared, and Jared will be happy I was listening to the show. Mm-hmm. He went through his 53 yesterday, uh-huh. but he was explaining that. So Kyle Phillips, you got to keep him on the 53, then put him on IR.
Right.
So that's maybe hope for Racy McMath that once Phillips goes on IR, they'll need another wide receiver, or they'll, like you said, keep 7 and then put him on IR. So that leaves you with 6, which is probably more the realistic number, right? If you're keeping 3 right. quarterbacks, 7 wide receivers for this team, I don't know if you need.
And you might have gone to that 7th yeah. receiver to be.
No, you don't need
to play the role, the special teams role that Kyle sure. Phillips would have played until he's able to come back and be healthy. And then maybe that 7th, more so 6th, but 7th receiver, you know, moves on from there.
And it sounds like the kid from Georgia, the consensus is Kyrus Jackson might have a shot early on to jump up and grab a spot with these opportunities, right? Well, because of special teams.
He'll have a shot to be their returner. And that's a shot that's an opportunity he needs to take, hold on to it, and make it his, because he's not going to be in the mix in regards to their rotation of wide receivers. He may get in there, if he does make the roster, he may get in there every so often. But his main thing will be special teams and being that returner, whether it be kickoff return or punt return. He needs to grab that, take a hold of it, and let them know, even when Kyle Phillips come back, this is my job, which in theory may hurt Phillips in the end, because if Kyrus Jackson solidifies himself as their returner, why do they need to have Kyle Phillips? Because they have their top 3 guys or top 4 guys, or maybe even 5. Why do we need a Kyle Phillips that's often injured? I'm just saying, I like the kid. I think he's a good player. But if you can't be available on the field, then there's not much I can do for you.
Also, with Hassan Haskins, that was what pick was that for them last year? 3rd, 4th? Like what round did they get him? I can't remember. But he has gone
from
he might be the backup, battling for backup, to I don't know if he ever plays again. I mean, he's gone for the year.
Yeah.
Has other issues off the field. This is going to be a tough climb for him to get back into contention next year.
Well, he had so much stuff going on this offseason. I'm surprised his mind was even focused on football, really. And I think the Titans realized that. I think that's, instead of cutting him, I think that's why they put him on IR right now, so he can go on rehab, because I'm sure what he's dealing with is not going to take a year to rehab, but they want him to concentrate on the stuff outside of football for now.
I think the IR is what Jared calls courtroom flu. He has his hearing tomorrow. So mm-hmm. I think that was a preemptive move by the Titans to place him on IR, not waste a roster spot on a guy that may or may not be available for injury and, too, because of legal reasons.
Well, they can cut him if that was the case.
They
could have cut him, but I think
So they're giving him an avenue to come back.
Yeah, they're giving
this is
him.
It's like a redshirt year.
Exactly. They're giving him an opportunity to get everything cleared through the courts first and then rehab yourself, and we're going to give you another opportunity at this. Because they, you know, they know more than we know in regards to his legal situation. So they may think that what went on wasn't exactly the way it went on. So we're not just going to cut him. We're going to put him on IR because he is hurt. But we want to get him not thinking so much about football. Think about your life and trying to correct that first. And if you correct it, then you will have a opportunity to earn your job or your earn your spot back next year, because he's done for the season.
And it also has you looking into your crystal ball and saying, what does the running back position look like next year if they move on from Derrick Henry, which we don't know, but it is going to be something that could happen.
100%. Absolutely. The latest with the kicking position. We'll get into that coming up next.
Oh, boy. We are, as the kickers turn.
As the kickers turn, because we have some developments. We will get into that coming up next. Hey, tune into 102.5 and 106.3, the game this Saturday for Vanderbilt football. The Commodores will kick off at 6 o'clock p.m. against Alabama A&M, with pregame beginning at 4:30 p.m. You can hear all the coverage on 102.5, the game app, and at thegamenashville.com.
John, what do you make of the kicking situation for the Titans and how it's gotten to this point, and are there solutions out there that Titans fan can feel any sort of good about at this point when you look at kicker and who that's going to be for this team?
Yeah, what a mess. Yeah. I still go back a little bit to the question of Caleb Shudak to me, and you know, personally, I didn't think there was necessarily a need to waive both Caleb Shudak and Trey Wolf in the first place. I think Trey Wolf was pretty much on shaky ground. I think we saw that coming. But to me, you know, Caleb Shudak, you know, the only egregious error to me that we saw was he kicked off out of bounds, in the first preseason game. But, you know, aside from that, you know, Jim Wyatt, of course, does a great job keeping stats during the preseason. And I think he had him, Shudak, 46 of 51 before they went up to Minnesota for practices up there. And you know, I guess maybe he struggled in the wind in Minnesota. I guess that's one of the theories. Other than that, I'm a little puzzled. You know, I didn't necessarily see him getting slashed. But that said, you know, I think a good guy for them to take a look at right now is Matthew Wright, you know, who was cut by Carolina a couple of days ago. You know, a guy who was 40 of 46 last year, had, 35 of 37 extra points. He was 17 out of 22 from 40 plus, which is always important. His kickoffs aren't tremendous. I think he had about 40% touchbacks last year, but seems like a good, you know, solid candidate this year. I struggle to see the Titans giving up a draft pick, in a trade for a kicker right now. You know, I guess there's a lot of buzz that Nick Folk might be available for a draft pick. But to me, if you're an organization that, you know, would not in the least think about drafting a kicker in the first place, are you really going to go to the length now of giving up a draft pick for a kicker? I'm not so sure I see that.
There you go. This the theme song for As the Kickers Turn?
Yes, it is.
It sounds like kind of soap opera kind of theme, doesn't
it? Right. The drama of it all. That was John Glennon on with Robbie and Rex Road this morning. On the Titans' kicking options, we have the latest in the kicking saga, the soap opera that is kickers in the NFL. So we learned yesterday Dustin Hopkins was traded to somebody, refresh my memory.
Dustin Hopkins was traded to the Browns,
yeah. Thank you,
at the expense
Browns.
Of your LSU Tiger, the yes. Fog Man himself, Cade York.
I love Cade York, but man,
draft pick, by the way, D-Mace.
Yes, he was.
Draft pick. You were saying, hey, draft a kicker.
Hey,
it didn't work for the Browns.
Hey, it's just like any other player. It's just like any other player. You may hit one, you may miss one, yep. But at least you try.
Yes, that's right.
I love Cade York, but he stunk with the Cleveland Browns. So the Cleveland Browns traded for Dustin Hopkins. He was taken off of the kicking market yesterday. And now the latest, the Broncos have traded for Will Lutz. Blake Group wins the job in New Orleans. Sean Payton reunited with his long-term kicker in New Orleans. So when you look at the kicking market, that doesn't leave a whole lot available to the Tennessee Titans. Nick Folk is expected to be available after roster cut down if there is not another team that decides to trade for Nick Folk. Again, the New England Patriots drafted a kicker, Chad Ryland, in the fourth round. So expect Chad Ryland to get the job in New England. So that would leave Nick Folk available if he does not get traded for. And then Zane Gonzalez and Ryan Succop and Robbie Gould and Mason Crosby. Some of the kickers that
Randy
are already,
Bullock.
And Fat Randy.
Yep, he's
available
out there.
On the market for the Tennessee Titans. Now, we heard John Glennon there saying, hey, if the Titans aren't going to spend a draft pick in the draft on a kicker, don't expect them to trade a draft pick for it to trade in a trade for a kicker. But I'm looking at the dwindling pool of kickers, and if the Titans want their pick of the litter, I almost think you kind of have to give up a draft pick, unless the Titans are fine with just picking up whoever's available.
Well, but is it really dwindling when you've got Crosby, Gould, Succop, and Bullock all sitting there waiting, and presumably you would wait till week two for one of those guys? I mean, I still feel like the market is such that if you want a veteran guy, you can get a veteran guy. There's more veterans than there are teams. Is that fair to say? That's why I see it. I am stunned, based on that, though, that teams are actually giving up a draft pick to get a kicker.
Maybe
I would never do that.
Says more about the kicking market.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't do that.
Hey, I'll just go ahead and give up the pick because I don't want to be left with the scraps.
Yeah,
I might consider it if I had a ton of draft picks stocked up. The Titans are not in that position. They have traded a couple of their picks for the upcoming draft, so they are not in a position, to me, under any circumstances, to give up a pick for a kicker.
I mean, right now they're not, but you never know what's going to happen, you know, come December, January, February, when moves are made prior to, you know, the NFL draft and you accumulate picks because of trades and all this other stuff. Whether it be, typically it's trades right before the draft or draft day, let me say that, where you accumulate more draft picks. So they can, I'm not necessarily worried about the Titans and their draft picks right now because they can pick up more draft picks, you know, next year right around the draft. But if you have an opportunity to get you a kicker and you don't want that kicker to hit the open market when he does get cut, then you may have to give up a sixth-round pick or a seventh-round pick or fifth, a conditional fifth.
They don't have a fifth.
Yeah, well, they don't have a fifth.
They don't have a sixth.
Well,
they don't have a third already.
They can give up a seventh.
Okay, so then they just don't have a draft.
I mean,
you got no draft.
But again, we're talking about now. We're not talking about once the draft happens. We've seen teams with three or four draft picks. Well, the Titans went through it, I think, two years ago, where they didn't have draft, picks in certain rounds.
The Rams haven't drafted in years.
Yeah, they end up, you know.
And you see where they are right now.
They kind of stink.
They're not very good.
Yeah, they stink. But they end up, you know, accumulating some picks by making some moves. So, again, it's about where your team is at now. I'm not really concerned about where this team is going to be next year at this time or the year after that. Right now, this team needs a kicker. How do we help our team? Get a kicker. And if I need to give up a seventh-round pick or something else here and there, then right now I'm willing to do it because who do we have?
Here's my thing, though. You can do that, and I would feel good about it if you knew the kicker you're getting is the man. We have no idea if these guys are going to make it or not. From year to year, there's fluctuation. Guys have good years, bad years. And there is no set guarantee other than Justin Tucker, who is not from this planet, I don't think. There's not a lot of difference. It's just who gets hot, who gets their confidence mentally, who has the right stuff. But there's a musical chairs for a reason with some of these guys. So to me, I think you just keep playing the roulette. There will be guys that you don't have to give up anything for, especially after the first week, that you just hope that you hit on the right one. And
what if you never hit on the right one?
Well, what if you trade your seventh round pick and it's for a guy that busts it?
It's a seventh round pick.
Well, then okay, but then you get a guy that busts and you're out of seventh round.
How many seventh round picks make teams?
Cortland Finnegan. There's one. I mean, you can get a good player in the seventh round. You can.
I can tell you
a better chance of the kicker.
I can give you their names. You know, I can't sit here and name all the seventh round picks that we had as
Kevin Long. Wasn't he a seventh rounder?
I don't think Kevin.
He was low. Was the Titans seventh rounder, and I have no idea where he's at.
Listen, in my 15 years, seventh round picks, the odds of them making a team is very low. Very low. Yeah, you'll get a few that make the team. More than likely, it's the guy when you have three or four draft picks or five draft picks, and that seventh guy you draft in the seventh round is really, you know, he's your fifth pick in a sense because he's the last pick of the draft for you, which you don't have a fourth, you don't have a fifth, then you have a sixth, so you end up picking up that guy. That guy may make the team because of the sure numbers. But if I have seven picks in seven rounds, more than likely, that guy that I pick in the seventh round ain't making the team.
If I had extra picks and I had a deep roster, then I would consider it. This team needs picks. They need to be picking up picks.
They
need picks in 2025. They're going
worry
through.
Worry about picks in 2025 and 2025.
You don't worry about it. You need a kicker
somewhere
now.
You got to replenish this roster. You need depth. You've got to hit on guys.
So keeping your seventh round pick is going to help you build your team?
Absolutely.
No, it's not.
Yeah. Because
Kicker is helping me today.
Not necessarily. You don't know if that kicker's. We just said the guy yesterday, Cade York, fourth round pick. He's gone after one year. You cannot predict who the kickers are going to be that are good.
But my thing is this: if you give the guy an opportunity, then maybe he just will make the team.
Why?
Vrabel said today, the day they signed Bagley. What did he say? The next guy to get the crack of it, he's the next guy. We're bringing somebody in.
Okay.
So that tells you he didn't have
I'll make a proposal.
The guy making it.
Option A, trade a seventh rounder for Nick Folk. Option B, sign Mason Crosby. What's the difference?
Money, probably.
Forget about money, forget about picks and everything. How do you know who's going to be better this year, Mason Crosby or Nick Folk? Is Nick Folk that much better?
If they think that he's much that more, much better.
What do you mean if they? Nobody knows. These guys have kicked for a long time.
Better than I do.
They don't. There's no way to know. That's my point. Nick Folk and Mason Crosby have both been NFL kickers for
a long time. There's no way to know if a kicker is going to be good or not?
No, there's no way to know. They're all going to hit about 83 to 85% of their field goals. Mm-hmm. On a good year, they might hit a little more. Mm-hmm. On a bad year, they might miss a couple more.
Well, you got a good kicker then.
Harrison Butker had a bad year last year.
And the Chiefs won the Super Bowl.
Right. That's my point. That kickers can fluctuate, but they're all about the same, and you've just got to hope that whoever you get does the job. And it's not worth giving up an asset to get one of these guys. Your success rate does not go up by trading a seventh-round pick. There's no guarantee.
Let's continue on the other side, and we'll get right into your phones on the other side as well. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game in the Game Nashville app. It is roster cutdown day, and there is a kicking carousel, not just in Nashville, but around the league. Will Lutz has been traded to the Denver Broncos. Will Lutz reuniting with his former head coach in New Orleans, Sean Payton. That leaves Brett Maher on the kicking market. And as we learned yesterday, the Denver Broncos traded for Dustin Hopkins. That leaves Nick Folk potentially available either for trade or the Patriots may cut him if he lasts until 3 o'clock Central Time when the official 53-man rosters are due. We're breaking down what should the Titans do. Do they go ahead and trade the pick? Do they wait until the kickers are available on the market? Let's get your thoughts on it. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mark is on the line with a thought on the kickers. What's up, Mark?
Hey there. I don't know why nobody's talking about him, but he's never missed a field goal in the playoffs in his entire career. He still wants to play. I know he's 40, but he's one of the most accurate kickers in history, and it would solve the Titans' problems at least for a couple of years, and that's Robbie Gould.
Yeah, we've brought him up many times.
We've talked
many
to Robbie Gould ad nauseum.
Yeah, he's expensive.
Did you talk about him today? I'm sorry, I didn't hear today.
We brought him up in the last segment on the list of available. See, he's in a category, and there's a number of them, that are the vested veterans that maybe didn't have their best year last year, and they, because they're veterans and have been around for so long, they make a lot of money. And so that's what happened to a degree, I think a large degree, with Randy Bullock for the Titans. And so they get thrown into the pool, and they don't have enough confidence in the guys that they want them guaranteed salary for the whole year. Mm-hmm. Now, in week two, I'll guarantee you those guys get phone calls. But the question is, do you want to sign those guys and guarantee their salary for the season? Because once you've accumulated a lot of years in the league, you are more expensive. I don't know what's the cheapest you could get Robbie Gould. Like, let's say you call Robbie Gould today and say, we want you to be our guy. What would that cost? You're guaranteeing his salary. He's got, I don't know, umpteen years in the league. So what does that mean? By the way, Nick Folk is 38. So he's no spring chicken, but he's a guy that is experienced, right? But
so what's my guess? It is isn't it
random? All of these guys are in the same category: Mason Crosby, Robbie Gould, Ryan Succop, Nick Folk. They're all the same guy. So why trade a seventh rounder for one as opposed to just signing the other for nothing? They're all the same. We can't predict who's going to be way better, way less effective.
Well,
can
I think
we?
these kickers that you're naming, whether it's Robbie Gould or the other two that you named, they're up there in age. Now, specifically talking about Robbie Gould, he's been an average 85-86% kicker. You know, he didn't have a bad year last year. It just wasn't as good as the year prior, where he was kicking 87%. He was making 87% of his field goals.
The question I have with the guys that are older is, was that a, you know, just a total one-off weird year, or are you nearing a decline?
You're starting to decline. Yeah, right. That's always
the
question.
Not technically, because if you look at, you know, the last 5 or 6 years of his career, he's on average missed around 3 to 4 field goals each year, give or take. So,
but
he's right on par with what he's done, you know, throughout his career. He's right on par. Missing three or four.
You would say the same thing about almost every one of these guys. A particular year, they were awesome. Particular year, maybe down a little bit. I mean, when you've kicked 12 years, there's a little bit of fluctuation. It's just experience.
Will Levis is an example of that down here this past season, but been pretty nails for
but
the entire
Sean Payton
career.
Wanted him.
He loves Will Lutz. Mike is in Gallatin and is on the line with a thought on the kickers. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. So super fast. Willie, I mentioned you say something about, like, we wanted to sign one of these veteran kickers. We had to wait till week two. I guess I'm not understanding exactly what the benefit of that would be, and then what our kicking plans would be if we hypothetically had to go in week one with a different kicking scenario than what we want. And I'll just listen to you guys talk about it.
You don't have to wait.
Thanks, Mike.
You don't have to wait for week two. The advantage of waiting till week two is you do not have to guarantee that player's salary for the rest of the season. So if that guy bombs,
you can kick him.
You can go to option C.
Right.
Like, if you wanted to have one of the three of us kick, or Nick volunteered to try out and kick for 1 week.
Thanks,
you
could, Nick.
I need a 36-yarder. We're good.
He's not a vested veteran.
No.
Same thing with Hani Mukhtar or
anybody else.
Sarah Fuller was brought up. You could have her for
a
week.
I saw her on a run not too long ago.
Okay,
she's
so she's in
Nashville.
Town. She's in town.
Sarah,
okay.
If you're listening, we'd love
just
to have
just need 1 week out of you. So that the non-vested veterans, right, could be anybody. You could cut them after week one, and they're gone forever.
Yeah.
You don't have to pay them. In week two, then all of a sudden you could pick up a vested veteran, and their salary is not guaranteed. So that's the idea behind. So if you got your guy and you're confident he's going to be your kicker the whole year, then it probably doesn't matter, right?
No,
or if the guaranteed salary doesn't really
isn't all that high.
That's
the issue with Lutz.
Yeah.
Brandon McManus, and Sean Payton said this, when they released Brandon McManus, their old kicker, who was pretty good. He had his good kicker, and he's now with Jacksonville. He was too expensive for how well he did last year, and so they moved on. And they brought in, Is it Maher or Maher? How do you say his name? The guy from the Cowboys?
Maher.
Maher. Yeah. Maher. So there's a guy that had a pretty good year. He was a very good kicker. With and then what happened? He got the yips at the end of the season. He missed what? How many? Four? Five extra
five
points?
I think it was five, yeah.
In the postseason last year. So the Cowboys said, we got to get him out here. Could he rebound this year?
Possibly.
Yeah, he's out there. So
he's out there.
They just traded for Lutz, so music would throw him into the pool.
Speaking of releases, the Titans have released Mason Kinsey.
He'll be back.
It is deja vu.
He's
all
never
over
gone for
again
long.
With Mason Kinsey. He is such a Vrabel guy. Vrabel loves Mason Kinsey. We will chat with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.